Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
We'll move on. This week, Geoffrey Donaldson, the leader of the DUP, said his party is still in talks with the UK government aimed at restoring devolved government at Stormont. People in Northern Ireland have now been living without a functioning executive for nearly 2 years. So what are some of the big issues affecting lives in Northern Ireland as it remains in a political drift? Well, our reporter Una Kelly has been finding out and she's with me now. Who have you been talking to, Una?
Well, Cormac, I was speaking to leaders in health, education and working families, all of them describing to me services under strain. For example, in the area of health, Northern Ireland's waiting lists for hospitals are the worst in the UK and worse in the Republic. That in turn puts pressure on GP practices, some of which are now closing or merging, and many health workers are paid less than their counterparts in the UK and the Republic. I was speaking to Derry-based GP Dr. Tom Black. He's also chair of the Northern Ireland branch of the doctors' organisation, the BMA. He's now started a new service offering private appointments alongside his practice's NHS work. He says his practice would soon have been bankrupt if he hadn't started seeing patients privately to raise funds to put back into the practice. He described this new hybrid model as a last resort.
The NHS was set up in the late 40s, Aneurin Bevan, the Welsh politician, was at the back of it. And it's universal, free at the point of need, and funded by taxation. And we're just ripping those principles apart. I mean, I have to say, for me, a doctor of 40 years working in the National Health Service who's never done any private practice, it's embarrassing. I shouldn't be having to do this. But to be blunt, we have incompetent politics, and that incompetence has led us to the point where if we didn't do this, my practice goes bankrupt and collapses.
If there were a functioning executive at Stormont, would that make a difference?
Well, it would help. It wouldn't fix the problem. The problem we have is the long waiting list and the lack of funding and the lack of workforce. And not to be too particular here, but a lot of doctors from the United Kingdom are now going to the Republic of Ireland, who are funding their health service better and paying their staff better. So Republic of Ireland is now the number two, number three destination for doctors leaving the United Kingdom after Australia and New Zealand. So we've seen this drift. The waiting lists in Northern Ireland are double for England and the Republic of Ireland, quadruple for those patients waiting longer than 12 months compared to the Republic of Ireland. And for those patients waiting on inpatient treatment for operations, our waiting lists are 11 times bigger than those of the Republic of Ireland. It is a shambles. It's a service pretending to be a service. It's embarrassing to work in this, and it's embarrassing to have to say sorry to my patients all day long.
That was Derry GP Dr. Tom Black there speaking about his view on the health service in Northern Ireland at the moment. And when we look at education, teachers in Northern Ireland are due to strike on the 18th of January over a pay dispute. They haven't had a pay increase for almost 3 years, while many teachers in England, Scotland and Wales now earn thousands of pounds more than their counterparts at the same grade. I spoke to Colin Torrens. He's the principal of Lisnagalvin Primary School in Derry. He's been in education for 31 years, and he says it's now in the worst state he's ever seen.
Well, the education system is crumbling in Northern Ireland big time, and it has been, I would like to say, in the last 18 months, but it, you know, the last 18 months have exacerbated things, and certainly what we're seeing now is not helping. We've been fighting for additional funding needs for schools. So what we're seeing now is sort of a backlog of catastrophes that have happened. Back then, school leaders, teachers, classroom assistants, they papered over the cracks for the government. They sort of tried to make things work so that the children wouldn't suffer. We've got to a stage now when that's just not physically possible, never mind mentally. And I know a lot of colleagues and a lot of teachers have their mental state of mind over the last number of years has struggled because of the pressure we've been put under. We are seeing a number of teaching and non-teaching staff in Northern Ireland leaving the system. Just to point out to your listeners that a new teacher starting a job in England starts on a salary of £30,000. If they were to start that same job in Scotland, they start on a salary of £31,500. If they went across the border and started in the Republic of Ireland, it equates to over £35,000. A new teacher starting here starts on £24,000.
And in comparison to the rest of the UK, how does it compare now? What's the situation in terms of levels of funding?
Well, the levels of funding, we're told now, this just before Christmas, that there is a package on offer of £3.3 billion, and that only a serving executive can use that money. My message again is, do something now, get our country back on its feet, get our children, give them the education they deserve, because they are going to be our doctors and our nurses and our teachers of the future, and at the minute we are failing them.
That's Colin Torrens, principal of Lissagalvin Primary School in Derry. And Una Kelly, you've been speaking with families in Derry about childcare, an issue familiar to many parents across this island. But parents in Northern Ireland, you've been finding out, can't avail of the same supports as those in the rest of the UK.
That's right. This week, applications opened in England for funded childcare support for two-year-olds, but similar supports remain unavailable to families living in Northern Ireland. That's because childcare provision remains a devolved matter, meaning it's up to Stormont to decide if and when it'll invest in childcare. I was speaking to Una Hegarty. She lives in Mahra Felt and works full-time. She has two children, but can only afford to send them to childcare 2 days a week. That means for the rest of the week, to make things work, she had to reduce her working hours, work from home on certain days and rely on family support. And she describes all this as very frustrating.
It definitely does not help that your largest bill is increasing year on year and quite a high rise. I mean, the cost of groceries, you're obviously feeding a family as well. Fuel, everything is just going up and mortgages have taken an increase again. When does it stop that you just, like, I mean, salary-based workers, I don't know if everyone's salary is the same, but not everyone's, the minimum wage might be increasing, but salaries aren't increasing year on year to try and help relieve the pressure of the living crisis at the minute.
The UK government has implemented an expansion of some free childcare support in England that can't be implemented in Northern Ireland. Is it kind of frustrating when you look across the water and see that what's happening in England, but it can't change in Northern Ireland because it's a devolved matter?
Very frustrating when you look at my own experience. If there was always the availability of 30 hours free childcare, that's essentially 2 days a week that I could have been going to my work, and that could have made up the rest of my week essentially, and had my childcare place funded essentially for 2 days a week. It's very difficult for working parents to make ends meet, and there just seems to be no end in sight as such, for especially with the way the NI executive is at the minute. Well, I'm expected to be at my work every day. I expect them to be at their work every day getting paid. And I believe we deserve the same as the rest of the UK is getting. We need help. I mean, how much year on year is it going to increase by? Is it going to become the point that parents are going to have to stop working? I think there's going to be massive trouble if parents can't get some sort of outlet or some sort of aid to try and help them manage just raising families.
That was Una Hegarty there from Mahara Felt talking about the difficulties of funding childcare and working among cost of living pressures as well. And on cost of living pressures, well, last year the Department of Education in Northern Ireland cut the so-called holiday hunger payments for children who are entitled to free school meals. It says it had to save money because its budget was not sufficient. Karen Mullen is the manager of Foyle Food Bank. She's also a former Sinn Féin MLA. She says that this cut meant more parents had to come to them for support, and that the profile of people using their services has changed.
The demographics change, more people, more larger families, more working people, people who have found themselves often sickness or often maternity, and something happens over that period that they're not able to meet those outgoings. And it's devastating for many people who have had to come here and reach out for our help. And we find that it's just the nature of it. People wait to the very, very end that they're in that complete crisis. We find the majority of people coming as well have found themselves in debt, particularly from last winter. People have had to use credit cards to put oil or heating under the house and to buy food and pay for stuff for their children. And they're really, really struggling because they can't pay that back. So there's a wide range of circumstances, but definitely, you know, more people who are working who should never. And we do have two income households and they certainly should be getting paid a decent enough wage to be able to meet the essentials of their household.
Last year, the Department of Education in Northern Ireland, they say to save money, had to cut the holiday food grant payment. Did you notice that having any impact in terms of people coming to you for help?
Yes, we were prepared for that for the summer. We continued to be see a steady increase the whole summer. We've seen families and larger families that we wouldn't have typically seen before. Again, we've seen working families, and that was down to losing that small. It's a small amount of money in the general scheme of things that we believe should never have been cut. It should have been increased. People have been forgot about and left behind by all governments. Everybody needs to be working together. They need to be tuned in and aware of how difficult it is for people out there.
And that is Karen Mullen, manager of Foyle Food Bank, ending that report by Una Kelly.